I'm in trouble. I didn't turn this machine on. But you heard it, didn't you? I just switched that thing on here on my belt. But let's go on for the next thing. Let me turn you to another verse, or at least read it to you. Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews 8:6 says, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also a mediator of a better covenant." An excellent ministry. Can you imagine what Jesus is doing right now on behalf of you and me in heaven at the right hand of God? There are demons surrounding us constantly wanting to get to us, wanting to destroy us. They hate the fact that you and I become successful spiritually. They don't want us to be morally pure. They want us to walk around with sin-loaded souls. They want us to be bogged down with filthy habits. They want us to tell filthy jokes. They want to whisper to us negative, stinking thinking. That's what the demon wants for us, right? And Jesus is in heaven. What's he doing? He is ministering in behalf of us that the power of the Spirit, the power of God's Word, and all the ministering angels will surround us and make us walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what he is interested in. That's the excellent ministry that he has. Now, not only excellent greatness, not only an excellent name, not only an excellent ministry, but let me turn you to Philippians 4:8. Would you do that? Philippians 4:8, every one of you who didn't bring your sword with you, you are vulnerable, right? You know, that's the word of God is called a sword, isn't it? True enough. Now, let's turn to that Philippians 4:8, which says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of great repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." What does God want us to dwell on? What does he want our minds to be filled with? Excellent things. Folks, there are teenagers in this group, and I guarantee you guys, without fail, I guarantee you stand there at times in front of a mirror and flex your muscles, right? Turn around and even take a back view of yourself to see how great your shape comes down, right? I guarantee you some of you go to the ocean to get that beautiful tan just to, you can walk around, and I bet you some of you girls, you're going to make sure that every curve is nice there, don't you? I am sure you give it everything. But you know, we are living in a life, in a world, where we are living basically with a mediocre. We do. Even in school, there are very few that give their best. As a matter of fact, we are told that we approximately use about 8 to 10% of our brain cells. 90% of our brain cells sitting there quivering to want to be used. Can you imagine the powers that are available to us, just humanly speaking? But spiritually speaking, we have verses like, "I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me," right? Wrong. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." There are verses loaded with things that tell us that you and I have tremendous things in our favor. Now, if we are supposed to reach out toward the excellent, what does excellent mean? It means outstanding, something that is beyond everything else. Every single person in this congregation who has named the name of Jesus Christ is asked by the living God to become an outstanding person. I don't know if you know what it means to be outstanding, but many of the bruises that I have on my physical body has come about because something stood out. The corner of the table, the cabinet, or the corner of a cabinet, or the doorknob, or the bed, or some stone, or some branch, or whatever it is, I bumped it, right? Now, I guarantee you, if you have never been successful in your spiritual life, I guarantee you, if you go for excellence, you become outstanding and people will bump into you automatically. You don't have to make any effort. It's true. That's the way it works. Now, therefore, I want to introduce you to the XYZs of spirituality. Because I believe the XYZs of spirituality are the deeds of excellence. The deeds of excellence. Let me get to the X. Now, I couldn't find a word that starts with X, except xylophone and xenia, right? And some of those things, but who knows those words, right? So therefore, I resorted to a little play on words, okay? Turn with me to, do me that favor, would you? Because we want to work together on this. Turn with me to Psalm 92, verse 2, would you? Psalm 92, verse 2 says this. Did I say 92? 99, didn't I say 99? That's good. That's beautiful the way you respond. Keep going, all right? 99 verse 2 says, the Lord is great in Zion, and he is what? Exalted above all people. Do you believe that God wants you to exalt him? Do you really believe that? Great. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 5, what does it say? Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. There we are again. Exalt the Lord. Verse 9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is our God. Now, Psalm, turn with me to Psalm 26, verse 7. What does it mean to exalt the Lord? What does it mean to exalt as a whole? It means to lift up so that everybody can see something. Anything that's way down cannot be seen. It's like Jesus said, a candlestick hid under a bushel is worthless, but you set it way up high on a candlestand or some kind of a post that can shed the light and everybody can see it, right? That's what it means to exalt, to lift up high so it can be seen. Have you ever seen those people who do those billboards, how they put them down in a ditch way, way down next to the highway, down in the grass? Never have they. Way up there. Sometimes you even see a McDonald's sign way high up on the post. Why? They want to get your attention, right? And God is saying that we need to lift him up, that everybody may see him. Now, turn with me to that verse in Psalm 26, verse 7. What does it say there? It says that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and declare what? All thy wonders. Wonders. Do you know how many wonders there are in this world? We know at least there are seven, aren't there? Right. But it's loaded. I mean, just when I picked up my brothers from the airport and we drove through past New York City and they saw all those huge buildings, the twin, is it Twin Towers over there? I think some two buildings up there, right? They looked together, and I had to translate it for them. And that Empire State Building and all those other things, the massive traffic things. We went right through a traffic jam, bumper to bumper, push and shove and everything. And they said, ausgezeichnet, hervorragend. They could only say those words. You don't know those words, right? How many of you know some German here? But they were just so amazed by it. They were just marveling about those things. But can you imagine how much more the Bible is speaking about the wonders of God? Turn with me to another psalm. Would you? Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Wow, that's great. Isn't that Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all what? Thy wonders, right? I will be glad and exalt thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O Most High. Let me read another verse to you from Job. Job 9, verse 10. The Lord does great things unfathomable and wondrous works without number. Listen, if there are wondrous works without numbers, how many of them do you know? How many of those wondrous things fill your heart and fill you with amazement as you say, oh God, you are just so tremendous. And as you go out and talk about all the wonders of God, how many do you know? You know, you ought to have classes that teach and dig out the scripture and out creation, all the marvels and wonders of God that you can go around and marvel and brag about all the wonders of God. You go around today. Just go around and see how many people in the world sing their old songs, sing their advertisements, sing all their jingles, and without embarrassment ever, 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 shout and scream and holler about all the wonders of man. How much more should you and I as saints brag and thank the Lord about the wonders that he has made? Just think of one thing that I can think of right now is that our body was made how? Fearfully and wonderfully. Do you know, even when I, pardon my my commonness, but to me that's not common. Even when I go to the bathroom, it's tremendous when all the systems are at work. Amen to that? It is true. I mean, can you imagine all the beautiful circulation of nerves and the digestion and breathing and all those things? God, you are wonderful, isn't he? I mean, you want to be blind one of these days and see what happens then, what is missing? You want to lose your hearing or your speech or your smell or your taste or your touch, and you finally say, oh God, how wonderful you are. I am so fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows that so well. I want you to get stirred up and praise God. How many people go to a restaurant and pray for their meal by this way, looking around who sits there and watches them, and then are so self-conscious that they are in a big crowd instead of really praising the Lord and letting people know that the Lord is wonderful, supplying this, they drop their fork and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this food, you know? Or they quickly start sneezing, achoo, thank you, Lord, for this food. I mean, why should we hide our greatness? Why should we hide the name of Jesus Christ in our life, right? Say amen to that. Let's stir ourselves up to give him honor and glory. And my first point, therefore, is it is our responsibility to involve ourselves in the deeds of excellence. And the first deed of excellence is to exalt the wonders of God. That's my first point. And I want to stir you up to fill your heart with the knowledge of the wonders of God, which are without number. So you can study as long as you want. You won't run out. Don't worry about it. Just keep piling the wonders into your heart and into your mind. And when you open your mouth, it comes out so easy. So very easy. Just go along. My brother was the other day said, thank God. I mean, he just doesn't believe it. And I quickly turned around and said, oh, you know him too. And suddenly he blushed. And that I caught him there. You know, just any little thing that you can find. I told some of the people here from the in the fellowship over Timonium Presbyterian Church at the White House. I told them, I even used a golf station to get some kind of a thing in. I still tell the guy, I said, did you know that the name of your station is in the Bible? Oh, it is? No, it is not. Yes, it is. There's a great golf fix between the unbelievers and the believers. Where will you end up? Right, I said, take the letter S away from your Shell gas station. What do you have left? That took a while, didn't that? But why shouldn't we let people know, right? I mean, we ought to know. We ought to go out and let the people know we are the children of the living God. Amen to that. That is what the first point is, and you and I are called to involve ourselves in the deeds of excellence. We're supposed to praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now, let's go to the next one. The why. Let me read a verse to you. Colossians. By the way, let me do something else. I almost missed an important thing at this juncture, because I would like to have you turn with me just to show you how powerful that concept is about the wonders of God. Would you go with me to Psalm 107? Would you, all of you? And if you don't have how many of you have the NASB here? Let me see the hand. Well, there's some progressive people here. It's tremendous. Well, I believe we probably have the same. So no matter what version you have, just read along with it loudly, okay? Because I'm going to ask you to do this. You're on Psalm 107, right? Turn to verse 8. Verse 8. Now, a leader in this group will start reading and you all follow, because we want to read this verse in unison, would you? Verse 8. Someone start it. Good. I noticed you need a little bit of practice, right? So therefore, I'm going to ask you to read verse 15 for me, would you? Let's do it again with a little bit more vigor. Good, tremendous. What is the two? Now, what's the word that repeats itself there? The wonders, right? How about trying another verse 21? Would you do that? The word wonderful is in there again. You did tremendous. Let's try another verse, verse 31, okay? Now, by now you have all four of those verses underlined, haven't you? Because he is repeatedly talking about the wonders of God. Let's go out and be amazed and walk around with people with an attitude of amazement. Not just when we hear singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a clunk like me, right? I mean, can you imagine what kind of a people we were, and God saved us from such filth and misery and pulled us out into his splendid kingdom. Now, quickly to the next one, to the why. To the why. Want you to listen to Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in your heart richly, yes, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with thankfulness in your heart to God. The why stands for nothing else but to yield to the deeper word of God. We all know the scripture. We know doctrines, and that is tremendously important. But what is even more significant is to reach deeper into the deepest recesses of God's word, because there's more to be seen. Otherwise, David would not have prayed, God, open my eyes. For what purpose? That I may behold wondrous things, right? There are deeper things in there. The word of God is not just known in a shallow way. There are powerful things in there. And the more you get deeper and way down there, powerful things come out of God's word. And therefore, I ask you to yield to the deeper things of God's word. I told the previous congregation, the other day I was picking up my daughter. It was raining. And right in front of the store, a car moved out. And I said, "Woo, that's my place." And I moved back so to give that other car lots of room to get out, right? And I was really polite and kind to that other person who was giving me that space, right? And lo and behold, just when that person backed up, before that person could even take out, car came around right in there. Man alive, I immediately had the IRS sensation. You know what the IRS sensation is? Don't you ever forget that. That's the instant revenge sensation. I mean, I was going to put my car right behind it, lock it, and walk away and let that guy stand there. I was going to put roofing nails right behind his tires. I mean, so nasty. Immediately, negative thinking came up. But then the Holy Spirit let the deeper things of God's word come in. The gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, love and patience and peace and kindness, forgiving and compassion. It's just so tremendous to be with people who have experienced the deeper things of God's word. And all of us need to yield much more to those things. I mean, I have met people who could quote to me Romans 8:28 just like that. All things work together for good. How does it go on? To them that love God and are called according to his purpose, right? And we quote it. But let that toast be burned just 5 minutes before going to work, and you can't get that thing out or something. It's amazing how suddenly all things don't work together for good, right? It's amazing. And you know, to yield to the deeper things of God's word is so significant as you reach God's word. For example, as one proverb said, the soft answer turns away wrath. Next time somebody stirs all that wrath that is inside of you, simply realize you can get that way down by letting the Holy Spirit let you yield to that deeper concept of a soft answer that turns away wrath. That's the second deed of excellence that you involve yourself. What's the first one? Exalting the wonders of God. The second one is to yield. There's nothing more excellent that you can do than these two, but the third one follows right along. Turn with me this time, and I will give you even time to Titus 2:14. Titus 2:14 is a pillar verse that you want to hang on to because it's you that he is speaking about and me that he is speaking about. It's a tremendous verse because it describes the type of people that you and I need to be and that God wants us to be. It says, Christ Jesus, in Titus 2:14, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession. What? Here it says, zealous for good work. There is no greater thing to watch and behold, to see a people, saints, who are busy in the church, in the kingdom of God, no matter where they are, doing everything for the glory of God with tremendous zeal. So zealous that nothing stops them. Criticism, negative talk, or any kind of ugly critical attitude, never, ever to get discouraged. Do you know the people in Nehemiah's day had a sword in one hand, had a trowel in another hand. They were willing to fight. They were willing to work. That is zeal. And the same thing, God has redeemed you. He has purchased you and me with the blood that you become zealous, so zealous that nothing can stop you. You're starting to perspire now, right? Think of it. Think of it. In the 1600s, let me look at it again, 1620, the pilgrims came over here. That's 468 years ago. Think of the 468 years ago. What was 468 years in this country? What was there? As far as buildings are concerned, as far as highways are concerned. I mean, the evidence of work is all around us. Buildings, trains, buses, planes, everything shows that we've built and worked and worked and worked. And you know, if human people on a human level work so hard, how much more for the excellent greatness of God's work should we become zealous people who are great in God's work? Amen to that, isn't it? It's so important. So if God wants you to involve yourself in exalting him and involving yourself in deeds of excellence, I propose to you these three deeds of excellence. First of all, exalting the oneness of God. Dig around in the scripture. Find out what you can do as far as knowing his wonders which are without numbers. And then involve yourself into the deeper things of God's word, really yielding to them all the time, because there are times you go upstairs and come back down and forget to turn the light off, especially some of you youngsters, right? And your parents will have to do what to you? Nag, 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 right? But it's not, they wouldn't have to nag if you already would have listened to the Holy Spirit or some angel to tell you to turn the light off, right? Or you take your dirty sock all rolled up or your laundry inside out and shove it into the laundry bag, right? Or wherever you shove it, right? Under a bed or a closet or whatever. If you were to do it as the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you would never have your parents nag at you. Hi, Candy. She is part of that group that's over at White House Fellowship. Tremendous knowledge of the scripture that she must have learned in this church. Here with the pastor that you had for quite a few years, right? Tremendous minister you've had here. But if we learn to yield, then on top of it, how many people live bored lives these days? So bored. Can you imagine, where are the video games these days that everybody had to purchase at $30 to $40 a cartridge? Remember them? When the Atari came out, everybody had to have them, and they all had to have a library. Where are they now, folks? Huh? For sale at the flea market. Yes. Or collecting dust. That shows that a lot of people got bored with it. And then you're going to get bored with other things too. Forget about them. Get yourself busy and become zealous for good work. And I guarantee you, not only will you build up treasures in heaven, you'll be so excited, people will think you've turned charismatic. Thank you. And that's what God wants us to be. Let me read one final word to you because it's late, isn't it? You know, I have been going by this clock here. It says 4:24 here. But that's the wrong time, isn't it? It's after 12 o'clock. But let me tell you, let me read something else to you. Philippians 3:12, Paul is saying this about himself. And I want you to read that sometime and see the fervor and the spirit and the dynamic that man had. And he is our example as far as serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold on yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward, reaching out. And when you reach, that means effort. And then he said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He is a man who lives under pressure. And so he wants men and women, boys and girls, and the greatest people of all, the teenagers who think so well of them, to push on and press on and be people who pursue excellence in the kingdom of God. And we all say what to that? Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God, Almighty King, wonderful Father, hear us for the glory of the name of Christ and the glory of your kingdom. Stir our hearts to love you with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, so that people will know those who arrogantly walk around and defy you, deny you, and do not speak well of you. May we, Father, by your grace, give glory to your name and your kingdom. Oh, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.